station.
I can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Jeff Lutz.
Honestly, I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but you sound like you know some kind of trick.
You're funny.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
Here it is. This is what I'm thinking right now.
What are you people? On dope?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Don't take drugs.
Stand by for action.
Good afternoon and welcome. It is Bob and Jeff on KFH. It is a Wednesday afternoon, overcast skies, some rain falling intermittently throughout the Wichita skies and the surrounding areas. And Bob is not here to share in the gloom and doom of a dark and dreary forecast. Jason Duda, however, freshly back from his stylist, who trimmed up the hair, got the goatee looking nice. He still covers it with a hat for whatever reason, doesn't want people to see his freshly cut hair. But he is sitting to my right, and he's ready for action.
Yep.
Is that right?
Sure.
You're so annoying sometimes. Why is that?
What happened?
Why'd you park so far away today? Well, I got in. I was a few steps away from the door, and here you come. I can barely see you approaching, and there's Jason Duda.
Well, I didn't. You know get why? It. You know exactly why.
Because
the parking lot was full,
okay.
And there's a sign that says parking for visitors of Odyssey only.
Right.
And where did you park?
In the parking lot.
Right in front of the sign that says for visitors.
Why are you?
So you were right there by the door, and I was out in the back 40. So I had to walk.
Yeah, you did.
Quite
a ways.
I did
your steps in today.
I saw you even pull in and drive in. I thought, well, you can't park there. And he did.
He did. Am I not a visitor? Explain to me how I'm not a visitor of Odyssey. I do the show from here maybe once every couple weeks, maybe once a week. You've been coming in. We've been doing the show together quite a bit lately. This is not a Friday, though, so this one's going to look a little different.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
I'm not sure if Mike Furches is going to be able to join us. He fell ill this afternoon.
That's too bad.
He was going to join us in studio. He said he didn't want to get out, but, you know, when someone's sick, I'm not going to, well, can we still call you? So I don't know. I don't know if Mike's going
to
be.
There's a lot of people sick right now. I had to take, my son's been out of school for 2 days. I had to take him to the doctor this morning.
Is something going around right now?
Cough and headache, and the doctor there said that it's going around. It's really bad in younger kids, but she's seeing it all over the place. They had did a COVID test on him, and influenza and strep, and he didn't have any of that. But she said he needs to get on whatever it was, antibiotics or whatever. So the kid's struggling a little bit. So he's at home probably laying down. I'd like to think that he's trying to get some rest. But since nobody's there, I can almost guarantee he's probably just on his computer playing a game.
Yeah, why wouldn't he be? Even if you're probably sick, you only get so many of those opportunities.
Should probably at least do his homework.
You think he's listening to the show right
Absolutely
now?
Absolutely not.
Oh, my goodness. He's not a fan of yours?
Guaranteed he is not.
That's unfortunate.
No, so I get it. I get it, Mike. If you're not feeling good, don't give it to everybody else.
Yeah, don't do it.
Go get some rest. Take it.
Yeah, I've been watching, two or three shows.
What are you watching? Well, we should probably wait for Pop Culture.
Yeah, we probably should wait.
Just wait. I want to spit this
out. Top
of the hour. Pop Culture.
Pop Culture Talk.
Yeah.
Put the talk in there.
Pop Talk Culture.
You're pretty close.
Say that five times
fast.
Pop
Culture Talk. Pop Culture Talk. Pop Culture Talk. Pop Culture Talk. Pop Culture Talk.
No. Pop Talk Culture.
Pop Talk Culture. Pop Talk Culture. Pop Talk Culture. Pop Talk Culture. Pop Talk Culture. See, you
Pop Talk? Pop Tart what?
No, I said Pop Talk.
Pop Talk?
Yeah, Pop Talk Culture is what you
Pop
wanted.
Pop Tart Culture, you said.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you last.
I never said Pop Tart.
The last two were
Max,
Pop Tart Culture.
Max, did I ever say Pop Tart?
Pop Tart Culture.
He says no.
He did not. Don't put words in Max's mouth.
I only saw
that's
the top
the last
of his
thing
head.
You want to deal with for 2 hours.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. But I only saw the top of his head, and it looked like it was swaying in the wind.
Well, of course.
In a no gesture.
The old silver fox. God, yes. That's a gorgeous head of
it
hair.
It does sway in the wind when
if we
even
don't,
there's no wind.
If we don't mention it every time we do the show from here, like I feel like I'm missing out on
you
something.
You know he loves it.
Oh, yeah, he does. Look at him. Look at.
How come you haven't gone more gray? You're a little older than I am, and I'm getting, like, white in my beard.
Oh, I got white in the beard? Look at the beard.
Not much.
No, of course not.
Not a lot.
When you don't have a team to cheer for in any sport, you don't grow gray as quick.
You don't lose any sleep.
No,
I forgot about that.
Absolutely
there's,
not.
There's
Max,
no stress
Max
in your
has
life.
A great head of hair, but he's had it since he was 12.
I just got a cut. You know, I saw my cousin 2 years ago. I hadn't seen him in 25 years. He gets in the car and looks at me and goes, "Would you do see a ghost?"
Mm-hmm. The silver fox, salt and pepper all over the place there. It's unfair.
I guess that's something.
So what else is going on?
You want me to set up the show today?
Yeah, what do we have going on today?
It's interesting.
Is it?
It's an interesting show today.
All right.
At 2:25, we'll talk with Jamie Kruse. He's the head coach at the University of Andover High.
The university?
As Lou Holtz might say.
Okay.
The University of Andover football team. But he's the coach at Andover. They went from winless last year when he wasn't there. While he was winning two games at campus, he comes over to Andover, a team that had gone winless, and he's got them 4-4, and they have a pretty interesting game in the first round of the 5A playoffs. And we're going to go through that bracket at some point today, I think, because it is absolutely insane.
Why?
The 5A bracket. Because you have, like, these teams that played everybody that are like 2-6, and then these teams that played nobody that are 7-1, and all these Blue Valley and Overland Park teams, and then there's Blue Valley or Mill Valley, and then there's Aquinas. The east side of the bracket is absolutely ridiculous. And I just want to highlight that for a minute.
All right.
And then in 4A, you have Bishop Miege, who wins everything all the time.
Yep.
They're facing 7-1 Lewisburg. So here's Lewisburg that comes, I believe, 1 point away in their last game from being undefeated. I think they lost 14-13. Don't quote me on that. In their final game to go undefeated. And as a reward for that, they get to face Bishop Miege, which finished 1-7 because it played all those other 5A crazy schools and 6A. It's just insane. Just absolutely insane.
So who are you taking in that game?
Which game?
Miege.
Miege and Lewisburg?
Yeah.
Miege by about a trillion. No
a trillion?
Offense to anybody in Lewisburg.
Man.
But there's a lot of games like that. The teams with the worst record are just going to obliterate the other team. And you'll
All
see
right.
that in the larger classes more. And then with Miege and 4A, you're not going to see it as much in the smaller classes.
Probably not. Well, it'll be interesting to go through it and hear what you have to say.
It will be interesting to go through it because I've only taken a cursory glance at some of the matchups, and it's like, you don't have a chance. I'm sorry. Nice season. Way to go 6-2, 7-1, but you're finished.
That's odd.
It is weird.
That is
Maybe
odd.
Jamie Kruse will have an opinion about that, although he doesn't need to worry about the east side of the bracket.
Not really if he's on the west side.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, he may get to the state championship game. You never know.
You never can tell.
They've had a lot of close defeats this year.
Well, we'll soon find out in a couple weeks.
At 3 o'clock, we're going to talk pop culture in some form. Maybe just the two of us. Maybe we'll get Max on board. Maybe Mike Furches does call and we hear from him. Maybe he wanders in. I don't know.
Who knows?
We have absolutely no idea the status of Mike Furches today.
We have no control over the 2 hours we're here.
But
just so everybody knows.
But we are going to talk some pop culture. And at 3:25, Jason, get this.
What?
You won't believe this.
I'm thinking I might.
We're going to talk college flag football.
What?
Yeah, why not?
Well, it'd be crazy not to, but fill me in a little bit.
Bethel has a team.
Okay.
And I don't know if they're good or not. I just found out that there's some flag football teams out in the area. They're having like some Veterans Day triangular in flag football. I don't know how that works. But one of the teams involved was Bethel, so I was like, hey, let's talk some flag football, and let's track down Bethel's coach. Her name is Felicia Teeter.
Okay.
And we're going to talk some flag football.
Interesting.
I hope they're not terrible. But if they are, oh well, who cares?
Well, aren't you basically just trying to figure out what's going on with it?
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, so then who cares if they're good or bad?
That's pretty much it.
We're trying to figure out what's going on here.
Let's.
How many teams? How many games they play? Like now, I'm kind of curious.
Is it
what? I don't know. If you're asking me a question on this, you're not going to get much for an answer.
She was announced as the football coach. the head flag football coach in March. She was appointed. I'm sorry. That's what she came to Bethel from Pratt. Okay. Her coaching philosophy is based on leadership principles she has developed and instilled from her over 30 years of experience with. I bet you can't. I'd give you the rest of your life to finish that sentence. Her over 30 years of experience with.
Is it about sports?
No.
I don't have a clue then.
She has over 30 years of experience with the Department of Defense.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how many questions can we ask about that?
I don't. That may take up the rest of the show.
Is she gonna? If I ask a question, am I gonna get the old "that's classified"?
You might.
Will I get that?
But we gotta ask, right?
Well, we will ask.
She spent 10 years on active duty in the Army and another 20 years as a Department of Defense Air Force civilian, where she led training programs.
Oh, we can find out lots of stuff. Wonder if she knows anything about the Canadian military.
I would have to imagine that she probably does. She was a former varsity tight end fullback coach at Estacado High School in Lubbock.
Lubbock, Texas.
Are there a lot of fullback coaches in high school?
I have no clue. I wouldn't think like just a football coach, but if you're talking Texas, then yeah, maybe. That wouldn't surprise me, right?
Yeah.
Well, would it in Texas?
I don't know, would it?
And down there?
Do they need a fullbacks coach?
Well, obviously somebody.
Do they have a fullback?
Well, they must have been. If not, she had a great job.
I bet they had a tight end, but did they have a full? Maybe it was some kind of innovative offense where you could use the tight end either way.
Oh, very well could have been.
Maybe a fullback. Anyway, that's our show today. If you would like to join us, you can call 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. You want to know the big topic of the show this week?
What show?
Our show.
Well, you guys had a topic?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
No, you did not.
Oh, well, we got to
I've been
argue.
Doing this show for like 7 or 8 years, and I don't know if we've ever had a topic.
What about tight end university?
Well, that is true. That was a topic
for a long
time. But
it
just kind of popped up, though. It wasn't like a let's talk about this
topic.
Well,
this one emerged in the last segment of Monday's show. So it was like one of those, okay, we got like 5 minutes left. Let's throw this out there. We'll both agree. We'll move on, and then next. But we didn't agree, and I still don't agree.
With what?
Just give me your take, and we're going to argue about this.
Well, what if we're on the same take?
There's no chance, because I know you.
All right.
Give me your take on Anthony Richardson asking out of a football game due to fatigue.
Literally ridiculous.
Explain why, because I do not understand why people are making a big deal out of it.
You ever seen a quarterback come off in 50-some-odd years of NFL?
But I've seen offensive linemen come
finish.
Off. I've seen running backs
are you
come
let
off.
Me
I've seen
talking?
Receivers come off. I've seen defensive backs come off.
So ridiculous.
Okay,
yeah,
go.
Of course you've seen them come off.
Right.
That's
What's
right. They usually have a rotation. Or if a guy knees out, then they come out and they got a guy already ready. Do you think what Joe Flacco was thinking to himself, oh, he just ran down the field, I better go get ready to run in
no,
there?
No, he wasn't
are
ready.
You, are you serious?
But the guy was tired. Big deal.
Then get in there and hand the ball off on the next play.
I don't know. I don't know what.
Throw a quick out.
I don't know. Maybe.
Do something.
Maybe. I don't know. He was just tired.
Now, first time I'd ever heard, seen, even thought about that.
Tell me why it matters.
Because it's a quarterback. That's the guy running the show.
But tell me
there.
Why it matters. Would you think
because
less
of you've got now you're going in with somebody who's going to control the ball, who hasn't been in the game. You're in a.
It's third and 23.
So what?
You got
so,
one play.
So
basically
did he come out because he was tired, or did he come out because it's third
no,
and 23?
He was tired.
Probably not going to make this anyway. So let's let Joe go in, and then he
Joe
can.
Has a much
he's
better.
Not. He's not going to be able to do it, and then I don't have to look like I couldn't. Make the third and 23 play.
You know who has a much better chance of making third and 23 than Joe Flacco? Anthony Richardson, who every completed pass is like 60 yards.
Yeah, so he should have probably stayed in there.
No, he didn't.
You
he
literally just made my argument for me. You literally just made the argument
for me. No, I'm saying
me.
We know he was tired. Not that it was, oh, well, it's third and 23. Like, he didn't quit on his team. He didn't give up. He was just tired.
How have you ever seen a quarterback
have
come
I
out
ever
before?
Been tired? No, I haven't seen it.
Nope.
That
Why?
Doesn't mean it's a big deal.
Because you don't. You just don't. And if you're going to run around like that, then you should be in shape to be able to do it for a whole game.
Oh, yeah, Anthony Richardson, clearly not in shape. The guy
he couldn't finish. Off. He couldn't play three downs on that series.
He was tired.
So he's not in shape to play quarterback.
You're not in shape to play longer than a two-minute shift?
That's what I'm telling you.
You're not in shape to play longer than a 90-second shift back
in the day? Yeah, I've had to do it, yep. And I did it, and I didn't ask to come off.
But you came off, right? Why? You were tired.
Oh, a totally different situation. Don't even start that.
So
that's
everybody else in sports
ignorant to say something like that.
Everybody else in sports can be tired except for a quarterback. He's the only guy who can't be tired.
Why do you think that this is okay? So do you think quarterbacks should come in and out all the time?
It's not okay. It's not okay. It's nothing to me. It's literally nothing.
Who gets the plays sent into them on the offense?
I assume it's the tight end and fullback.
The tight end and fullback. Yeah, see, you make no sense at all.
Obviously, it's the quarterback.
Okay, so you don't know he's coming off, and the guy's trying to talk to you to get a play in. He's telling you, I don't know, I'm out. Now you're down, and now you got, hey, Joe, go put your shoes on, and where's your helmet, by the way? Did you take your pills so you can get out there at 42 years old? Oh, delay a game, 3rd and 28. Make it worse. Come on, you think it's okay?
No, I did not. What did I say?
Basically, you think it's okay.
I don't think it's okay, and I don't think it's not okay. I think it's nothing. I literally believe that. I accept, Jason, that people do not feel the way I do about it. I accept that for whatever reason they're now looking at Anthony Richardson in a more negative light. I accept, even though the Colts coach said differently, that might even be a reason why he was benched. I think that's stupid. But I don't get it. I don't get it. That's just where I am.
Max, where are you on this? I'm kind of curious.
Well, nobody agrees with me.
Obviously, I know where Bob's at.
He quit on the team. Donovan McNabb was throwing up in the Super Bowl in the huddle and kept playing. He quit.
And he sucked.
What?
It doesn't matter.
What? And he stayed in the game as the quarterback?
Yeah.
Richardson quit.
So you'd rather hurt your team.
Richardson. So you'd rather
hurt your team by being sick or hurt or tired.
You're not hurting your team. You're out there trying to fight for it. And the guys respect that around you, so they fight a little harder.
That's
the way it works.
As far as I remember, you need to play
a team game once in a while, man.
I did play a team game.
No, you told me you played basketball, which you said, I just on the perimeter, they just give me the ball and I shoot.
Is that baseball not much of a team sport?
Baseball is a lot of one-on-one stuff. Pitcher, batter.
You can be tired in baseball. You can be important
in
baseball.
Have you ever seen anybody in baseball pull themselves out of the game just because they were tired?
No, because there's not...
Man, we're going through a lot of this sports things where nobody else pulls themselves
except off. Except the lineman, except a guy in basketball who tugs on his jersey. What a loser that guy is, right? He's coming out because he's tired. I've never heard of anything like
that.
Haven't
teams in baseball fined and benched players in baseball that didn't run out a ground ball, that just stood
there? Yeah, they were probably tired. Yeah. Now I get it.
Well, yeah, because they were sitting on the bench for 10 minutes and had to run 90
feet.
Right,
you get a little more rest baseball than being a quarterback.
Exactly. You get 40 seconds between every play.
You get
40 seconds between every play in football.
Okay.
So you're telling me no rest?
I'm going to ask you to go run 100 yards, and then I'll give you 40 seconds to be back to normal.
In order to hand the ball off or throw a quick out?
But dude is not a 23-year-old guy, however old Richardson is.
Then why does he get to talk about these guys?
You asked me the question.
Because he know.
Why do you get to criticize?
I've actually played a little bit.
He quit on the team.
No.
He quit.
He didn't.
Then why isn't he playing this week?
Because he has a bad coach who should be fired. He has a loser coach.
You're just looking for excuses now.
He has a loser coach. Oh, well, you get the best chance of winning. When a coach says that, this guy gives us the best chance to win.
That's because he's probably tired.
He has no clue.
He's probably tired of his antics.
No, he has no clue.
Here's the other side of it. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know what's going on. 80%, 90% of what's actually happening on a team, we as fans and people watching don't know. You don't know.
Here's what I do know.
Oh, this should be good.
When a coach says, and watch for this every time.
Okay.
When a coach says, so-and-so, quarterback, gives us the best chance to win, you know what that means? he's lost his team.
They say that all the time.
And I know. And it's always when there's a controversy and he's been kind of on the hot seat and
maybe
aren't believing in him as much. No. You know he's lost the team. And Shane Steichen has lost the team.
Not necessarily.
And he shouldn't be fired.
Do you think Anthony Richardson or Joe Flacco gives that team a better chance
to
win?
Anthony Richardson.
You are so wrong. You are so wrong.
Bigger weapon.
Bigger weapon.
Yeah, he can run. He throws way downfield.
Jonathan Taylor isn't as effective when he's in the game because he runs. Overall, not as effective as when Joe's in. How are the receivers? How's your passing yards when Joe's in compared to Richardson?
Josh Downs was great last week. Again,
you're going to one game. You're talking about one game. And did they win?
They lost by 3 to the second or third best team in the conference.
Second or third best team in the conference.
Yeah. Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's
you
take
can
a break.
Stew on that for a
let's
little
take
while.
A break.
Let's take a break.
You need a break.
You need a break.
Well, we got a football coach coming on. Let's ask the question.
We asked a football guy yesterday. We asked Jesse Newell. We have not asked a coach, but I'll let you deal with that one. I'll let you handle that question.
Fair enough. So I'm going to ask about that and military stuff. I love it.
Well, that's the other guest.
Oh, who we got right now?
The Andover coach.
Well, I can ask both.
He wasn't in the military, I don't think.
No, I know, but I can ask the military coach and I can ask the Andover coach. I can ask them both this question.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Stay with us. Jamie Kruse, the Andover football coach, coming up next. Max Power, our producer engineer, takes us to break. Bob out. Jason Duda in. It's Bob and Jeff on KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Back to the IHOP hotline brought to you by IHOP and talk to Andover football coach Jamie Kruse. He's got the Trojans 4-4 headed into the first round of the 5A playoffs where they'll be hosting Hayes on Friday. Coach, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing?
We are doing well. This is a team, obviously, in your first year. Coming off a winless season, this year has been much, much better. I know you've been close on about 3 of your defeats, so who knows how this season could have gone. But where do you feel like you are headed into the postseason now?
Yeah, you know, I think we've done a good job coming along, the team has this season. You know, I think we've got a group of seniors that did a great job in the summer, just buying into what was being taught to them offensively and defensively. And what we were asking of them was definitely different than they were used to, on both sides of the ball. I think we're not surprised by our success and then some, near successes. I think we still haven't played a real clean game. We've had turnovers and some coverage busts and some special teams issues where, I think any good staff is always trying to fix what they can fix and improve to try to get their team to reach their potential. And I don't think we've played our best game yet. And, hopefully we can get there this year. Our kids are fun to work with. They're a great group, and we're excited about this opportunity Friday.
Coach, how difficult is that? Obviously, you coming in as a new coach, and you're dealing with kids, 15 to 18 years old, and obviously having to learn a new system. How long does that take? I got to think it probably takes longer than just a few games. And like you said, you haven't played a clean game yet. So with that being said, what are a couple of the toughest things to get the guys to buy into when a new coach comes in?
Well, I think anytime, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but, anytime I've went into whether it be an assistant coach or being a head coach, just being somebody new, the kids don't know if they can trust you. Do you have their best interest in mind? Just what type of coaching style you're going to have and what you're going to expect of them. Just like anybody deals when they're dealing with young people and really anybody's what okay, what's expected of me? What can I get away with? How, you know, how hard do I have to work? And that's kind of the general mindset, I think, of a lot of people. But I think this group is maybe not quite like that. You know, they were eager to learn. And then specifically maybe with what we do offensively, you know, anytime you're not in gun and running RPOs and throwing the ball around a bunch, it's different. You know, that used to be what was different, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, that was like, oh, if you were doing that, you were different. If you weren't, you know, under center, two back, running power and toss and ISO, then that was, you know, that was out of the norm. So now, you know, our blocking is a little bit different. You know, we ask a little bit different pad level out of the kids. Obviously, quarterbacks in the option game have to understand option count and different reads and all the tags that go along with it. And usually, you know, this is the third school that I've been involved with that where we've installed this type of offense. And, you know, we're much farther along than you know, a lot of times. I mean, sometimes we're making corrections and we kind of forget, God, this is year one, or hey, this was like week three or four, and this is already stuff that a lot of times we don't even have in yet. So the kids are doing a great job, but you know, we can trust them to work hard, and you know, whether we've had some successes, so that is easier, you know, if you're not going through a season where you're having loss after loss. But you know, we can trust them whether they've won or lost, they come to practice ready to work. And, you know, again, luckily we've been able to win some games, and three of the four losses we've had, you know, we were within a score, you know, 7 points or less. So, I think that's, you know, again, easier to come and work hard when that's the outcomes.
Jamie Cruz, our guest, the head football coach at Andover High School. So when could you tell mentally, obviously we mentioned that you weren't there last year, but when could you tell that these kids had put last year behind them? Did you know that, you know, first day of practice? Was it going into the first game? Was it when you hung with Capen? Was it that first win against Mays? And what's it been like, you know, not having to battle uphill with these kids, that they experienced some success early?
Yeah, well, I think that was, you know, that was key. But you know, when you go back and say when we felt like, you know, we could trust them or they were on board, I knew we knew we were going to have a good senior class. You know, talking with Coach Dusenberry, you know, they had a down year the previous year, but you know, 2 years prior to that, they'd won 7 games and lost 3 really close games to good teams. You know, so they had known some success, you know, within recent years. And then, we, you know, just knowing, watching film, or it's been some other times where you watch film, you say, oh, that kid was really good. That kid's good. That kid's good. And it's like, well, senior, when you're watching the years before. But they had a lot of kids as juniors and sophomores playing for them last year. And so, you know, we knew specifically that there were some kids that, you know, were pretty tough. And I knew when we came in and we had 4 or 5 kids, legitimately 4 kids for sure, and probably more, that could have played quarterback for us. And that's a rarity anywhere I've been. Usually you're lucky to have 1, maybe 2. But we had at least four kids that was like, hey, if they're lined up at quarterback, we're not in trouble. Like, we can still win games. And thankfully, you know, we did have that, because we'd lost at one point or other in the season. We've lost 3 different quarterbacks. You know, Tanner Wollstone was going to be a great athlete for us back there, and he tore his ACL in the summer. He's a 3-sport athlete here at Andover, and looks like he's going to be able to get back, hopefully, for baseball season. But he was a basketball player as well. And then just to the quarterback spot, and then we had Will Quinn broke a bone in his hand, and we had Ryan Hatfield have a neck injury where he ended up sitting out the rest of the year. Will's been able to come back. So we had Quincy Jonas, who's now our quarterback. In the summertime, he was in the mix of battling for that, you know, number one spot, but really we thought he was going to play slot or maybe receiver and be a starter on defense. So, you know, I just knew when I talked to coach and buddies, I'm like, gosh, it's no joke. We really have 4 kids that they could all play quarterback. And you know, as it worked out through the season, that was really a need for us. to have multiple guys to be able to do that. But again, it just goes back to their you know, ability to learn and you know, ability to work hard, and so, you know, that's paid off.
Well, you talked about some of your seniors, your quarterback spot. Well, how about some of the other kids that have really stood out for you this year offensively and defensively?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I really could list everybody. I mean, you know, our offensive line, if you look at them, we're not a real big group, but they play with good pad level. I think Tate Hutchinson gets, you know, and rightly so, gets noticed because he's a, you know, he's a multi-sport kid. He's a good wrestler. And he plays right tackle for us. Awesome leader. I mean, he's a kid where he's asking questions. You know, very seldom do I have O lineman that will text me, you know, plays, or he'll text me a video of a play and just you know, ask me a quick question over the weekend. And you know, sometimes you'll get that from quarterbacks or, you know, maybe receivers, but I haven't had a lot of offensive linemen text me, you know, ask if, you know, hey, is this the same scheme we're running? You know, maybe a video from another college, you know, from a college or something, and or a video from our game on Friday, and ask, you know, asking, you know, what if the guy does this? You know, what's the, you know, because we'll have different tags for the O-line. But so he's a kid that you know, is very cerebral, and but also, you know, a very good competitor and a tough kid. So I think he's done a great job for us. But really, you know, all of our offensive linemen, you know, have done well. And then when you talk about defensively, you know, some of those guys play, you know, Tate's a starter on the D-line as well. Tristan Winfield's another kid that we lost. He was arguably our best defensive lineman. Him and Tate were both really good. And Tristan got a lot of quarterback pressures, and he tore his ACL a few weeks back. So that was, you know, that was another pretty good loss for us. But again, defensively, they've had, you know, they've had other guys step up and play well. You know, again, Tate plays along that defensive line. Another guy, Luke Farley, he plays outside linebacker. He's had a really good year. He's played both sides of the ball, more on defense, but he's a good outside linebacker for us. But again, all those guys have done good. We played really good team defense, which has allowed us, you know, to get off the field at times. And again, the type of offense we play, typically you have, you know, you're controlling the clock and you're winning the time of possession, which helps rest some of those defensive guys.
Jamie Crews, our guest, he's the football coach at Andover. They've got Hayes this week in the first round of the 5A playoffs. So I'm interested, obviously, in your background as a former college coach here in the state, and you've been a high school coach in the state now for about 11, 12 seasons. So what has gone into some of the moves that you've made? How do you kind of come to those decisions? And what was appealing about Andover for you?
Yeah, I think whenever you think about making a move, and you know, you obviously think about what's best for you know your family, and then you know, hey, is this going to be a good move long term? And you know, sometimes situations change, and maybe things weren't, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, you know. But I think you know, when we left the college setting, you know, I started, you know, having a family and more, you know, more kids come along. And so we thought, well, I want to be around a little bit more. And certainly now it would be tough with the college recruiting landscape. But we just felt when the kids were young, I wanted to have a little more set schedule where I wouldn't be on the road recruiting as much. And then, you know, there were some opportunities that came open and had the opportunity to go to Pratt. And that was a really nice setup. You know, a great community, really good support, good community support. They'd had some success. They had a really good couple classes coming up. And so, you know, that worked out well. And then, so whenever you look at making a move, whether it was, you know, when I changed college jobs or changed high school jobs, it's, you try to do what's best for, you know, long term with your family. And coming to Andover, I think, one, I knew that we'd have a group of kids that could learn what we're doing, and be a group that could handle the different things, you know, we're doing offensively. But more importantly, I think when I met with the administration, you know, I heard a lot of good things about the admin, building admin, and the district admin. Obviously, Andover Central's had a lot of success recently. So just talking to some people there and what they felt could happen here over at Andover. And again, knew about the senior class that was going to be good. We had there's room for growth with different aspects of the program, but I knew there was a good solid base here. And then when I started talking to more people I trusted that knew the admin and knew some of the assistant coaches, and then talking to some of the assistant coaches, it just seemed like I went and had a first team meeting, and when I ended up taking the job and met with the players, I think all that was confirmed. I mean, they're a good group of guys and fun to work with.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, we appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. Congratulations on the solid season you've had so far. I know you want to go much farther. Good luck against Hayes on Friday.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, thanks a lot. There goes Jamie Cruz.
He's gone.
Former coach at Pratt, they won a state championship there back in, 2016?
Sure, I'll go with that. I don't know.
Pratt's still a solid program.
Well?
In the 3A ranks.
It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
It's all crazy.
What's crazy about it, though?
I had to figure that. It took me forever to understand the 3A, 4A, 5A, 6A stuff when I got down here, because obviously where I went to high school, you just played the town next to you and away you went. Didn't matter if it was Grand Prairie with 30,000 and Sexsmith with 1,200. You played each other.
That's what happened. Here are the matchups on the 5A west side of the bracket. You tell me which one you think makes the Friday 5 this week. Because
okay.
There is one.
Okay.
We have...
Have you already done the Friday 5?
No, it's coming out Friday, but I've got the games picked.
Okay.
Actually, there are two.
Two?
Yeah. Great Bend Newton.
Okay.
Andover Hayes, Hutchinson Salina South, Liberal Bishop Carroll. That used to be the game in 5A. Eisenhower Emporia, May South Salina Central, Topeka Seaman Topeka West, Goddard Valley Center.
May South game.
Yeah, May South Salina Central. Salina Central just thumped Goddard last week. What's going on with that? And then, of course, Andover Hayes is going to be in the Friday 5.
I figured that.
Mays will be in the Friday 5 this
week.
Whoa! Mays has an interesting game against...
Who do they got? I haven't
even looked. Topeka Washburn Rural. One of those teams that, like, plays everybody. They play Blue Valley. They played Blue Valley Northwest. They played Manhattan. So they're 3-5. But you feel like that's not a team you want to see in the first round of the playoffs.
No, probably not. But... Where's that game at?
It's in Mays. You'll have to go.
Might have to trounce out there, depending on the weather, of course.
That's an interesting ball game.
Could be interesting.
I think it will be. Anyway, let's take a break.
Well, so they're playing Washburn Rural. That's funny because I think the soccer team was just up there to play Washburn Rural.
Washburn Rural is one of those teams that you run into a lot.
Then my daughter played a girl from Washburn Rural in state. What's going on in Mays and Washburn Rural?
They
just started a rivalry.
They're always in state, and they're like always pretty good at everything. Like they're good at girls basketball. They just lost to Derby like by a basket. Maybe they beat Derby. I don't remember, but that was a great game in last year's 6A tournament. Can I get into this 5A East bracket with
you? You've been eager to, so yeah, go ahead.
I know it's not like earth shattering stuff, but we're toward the end of an hour.
Yeah,
we're gonna reset the show.
Hit it
up at hour number two with some pop culture. Maybe Mike Furches calls. I don't know. I have no idea. I assume not, but you don't know. So the 116 is going to be an absolute bloodletting, of course, which 116s usually are. That's Aquinas and KC Turner. But that's about the only normal matchup in the 5A bracket. Highland Park is the 8 at 6-2, but we remember after their shutout streak, they lost 74-6 to East and then 62-21 to Atchison. They're going to get absolutely pummeled by Pittsburgh.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you have Shawnee Mill Valley and against KC Harmon. Mill Valley, the 4, which is unfortunate for the 5, because Mill Valley is going to destroy KC Harmon. And then either.
What are their records?
KC Harmon's 2-6, Mill Valley 7-1. Their only loss is to Lee's Summit North, which is a powerhouse in Missouri. they put it to a lot of good teams in Kansas.
So the 2-6 is the 5 seed? Is that what I understood there?
2-6 is the 13.
Oh, 13-5.
Yeah, well, that's the 4-13 matchup.
Oh, 4-13, okay.
Yeah, it's 1-6, you know.
I gotcha.
So we're not quite to the 4-5 match. That's the next round. But then Spring Hill, 7-1 against Shawnee Heights, 2-6. But Shawnee Heights has lost to Washburn Rural, Baser Linwood, which is good, DeSoto, which is good. I mean, Seaman, Lansing, Leavenworth. All these schools are good. So are they gonna beat Spring Hill?
Probably.
Which has only beaten Bonner Springs, Tonganoxie, Eudora, Casey Piper, Paola, Emporia, and Lewisburg, which we know in the 4A tournament faces Miege, and they're going to get smoked.
True. True.
And I feel bad for Lewisburg.
I know.
And then you have DeSoto at 7-1. Again, who have they beaten? Nobody. They beat Shawnee Heights. And then you have Blue Valley North at 1-7, but they've lost to Blue Valley Southwest, which is good. Blue Valley West, Blue Valley, St. James, Miege, and Aquinas. And that team's going to win at, what did I say? They're going to beat 7-1 DeSoto at 1-7.
What are their seeds?
2-15.
Who's the two?
DeSoto at 7-1.
And they're going to get thumped.
By Blue Valley North. Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
It is interesting. And then you have KC Washington at 6-2. They're bad.
They're bad?
They're bad. They lost 55-6 to Atchison, and they lost to Highland Park.
Oh, my.
Which we already established is not good.
Nah, the roundabout here is crazy.
It is crazy. And they played Leavenworth, which they haven't beaten anybody either, but they're going to pummel 7-seed KC Washington.
Yeah, but they haven't beat anybody either, you said. So,
but they're going to pummel.
Oh, I think that's going to be a close
game. KC Washington. And I'm going to check in with you this weekend after all these games have happened.
Good.
Then you have Baser Linwood at 7-1. Who have they beat? Nobody. Maybe they beat DeSoto. That's a good win.
Well, there you go.
But they play Blue Valley Southwest, which is 2-6, which beat Miege, which beat Blue Valley North, and they're going to pummel Baser Linwood as the 14 seed. So right now we've got the 15 advancing. We've got the 14 advancing. It's topsy-turvy. And then finally, 6-11 Blue Valley. This might be the game of the week.
6-11?
This is the matchup, 6 versus 11.
Okay.
6-seed Blue Valley, which has lost only to Aquinas and Blue Valley West, which Blue Valley West is a 6A school. They play St. James, which is 3-5, but their losses are to Aquinas, Blue Valley Northwest, Blue Valley, St. Pius X in Kansas City, and Blue Valley West. They also beat Miege, which is going to win the 4A title, or at least get to the championship game. And they beat Blue Valley North and Capon. These games are wild.
That is some crazy stuff,
isn't
right
it?
There.
Doesn't Holy. That kind of interest you?
Well, yeah, because you're kind of feel bad for the teams that had a good season,
and they're just
because they're playing who they normally can play, and
right.
Then you're going to go in and get pumped.
You've got this section of 5A, which is like away from the northeast part of the state, and they don't play anybody. And then you have the 5A state part of the state in the northeast part of the state, and they just beat up on each other all year, and they're going to beat these teams like a drum. No offense,
like a drum.
And then in the west bracket, you got games that are also predictable, but the good teams are going to win those. The better record teams are going to win those games, right? You're not going to see Topeka West rise up and beat Topeka Seaman. It's not going to happen. Emporia is not going to beat Goddard Eisenhower. Salina South will not beat Hutchinson. Newton will not beat Great Bend.
There you have it.
So there you have it. That's the 5A bracket.
Crazy.
It's wild.
It's just crazy.
I can't wait to see what happens.
This football stuff's nuts.
But I'm going to tell you what happens.
Oh, whoa.
Aquinas and Mill Valley are going to play in the semis. And they're in the east. The east semis. I think it's tough. I don't know who's going to win that game. But the winner of that game is going to go to the championship. And they'll play Andover Central's 4A. They will play, I have no idea who. Great Bend, I guess. And then Great Ben is going to get smashed.
Mm. We should have, you know what we should have maybe did for this?
What?
Is we should have maybe used the Simjin. Because the Simjin struggled when it came out of retirement last week.
It did? I thought it got them all right.
It didn't. I know.
I forgot to check.
I know it had taken the Yankees to win game one, which didn't happen. Then it took the Yankees to win the series in six, which can't happen.
I thought it said Nashville
to win that night. They lost.
No, Nashville won.
And
right?
Then we didn't know. And then the Oilers as well, and they lost. So the Simjin, I don't know, maybe there must have been a button that wasn't pushed.
I think something happened.
So when you were putting in and generating all the information,
yes.
It mustn't have got it correctly.
I think that's exactly
that's
what
the
happened.
Only thing I can think of.
I can't think of anything else.
Because the Simjin's never went 0-6
no,
before.
No, it's been reliable.
It's normally 6-0 and then 5-1 once in a while, but they didn't know like there was a big snowstorm coming
something
in. That's not right, because you can't.
It must be our fault. We forgot to input something.
Well, it's not. We know it's not the Simjin.
No, it never has.
No, not a chance.
But that's a look at your 5A bracket. Maybe we'll Simjin it tomorrow and get on Bob's nerves.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think it would, too.
I think it'd be fantastic.
Hour number two coming up. Some pop culture talk, maybe, when we come back. Either it'll be the three of us or Mike Furches will call. We have no idea, but we're going to talk pop culture. Come hell or high water. Stay with us. Hour two, Bob and Jeff.